Radio Ghana. And live from our national studios here in Accra, and also networking all our regional FM stations, and also live on the internet at www.gbcghana.com, we welcome you to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, where we examine issues from the perspectives of those making the news and also the experts. My name is Kingsley Odinchere. For tonight, violence against women. Are we winning the fight as the world marks 16 days of activism? Politicians and loose talk, a huge threat to the country's peace, so says watchers of the political scene. And also, the blind school at Akropon in the eastern region. Is anybody listening to its plight? What progress are they making, and what commendations do they have? Can anyone still come to their aid? All these for you. As Behind the News, and you are live on Ubuntu 96.5 and also on Unique 95.7. Women constitute more than half of the world's population. For many, this segment of our population represents the development potential, an important human resource. Yet, the development experts and resource analysts are of the opinion that resources are not, but they become. In many cases, women have not been assisted to achieve their potential. Regular reports of violence even worsen the situation. Yet, there is so much going on to improve the situation of women. What progress has the world chalked up since the decade of women that finally led to the Beijing Platform of Action and many more? Efwan Sre is the head of UN Women in Ghana, and she has joined us on the line as Behind the News explores the issue of the progress made on the front of women over the years. Quickly, we've just been alerted that we have a challenge on the line. We'll quickly try to re-establish contact with Madame Efwa Ansre as she tells us about the progress made on behalf of women over the years. Good evening, Madame Efwa Ansre.
Good evening.
You are warmly welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you very much.
Madame, we are discussing an issue that sometimes people will say is a deja vu, talking about the progress of women over the years. If you have to describe it, would you say it's been significant or minimal?
If I have to.
Describe the progress made on behalf of women over the years. Would you say it's been significant or minimal?
You mean with regards to violence against women?
To the progress, with regards to the progress made by women,
generally. Okay. Thank you very much for inviting me on this program. And by and large, I think women have made progress in many places, although in other places we've also made, we've retrogressed a bit. Today is the International Day on Violence Against Women. And if I take that as a typical example, the progress that women have made, I would say that to an extent, we have made progress, but there is still more ground to cover. Now, if you ask me what violence is, I would say it is anything that you would not want to be done to you that you would do to.
Hello, that's unfortunate. We lost once again, I think there is a little bit of a problem with that line. We'll try to re-establish contact on a better line and bring it to you. Sincere apologies. It's still Behind the News on Radio Ghana. Test line is 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. As we try to re-establish contact with Madame Efwan Sre, I think we have her now. Madam, you are welcome once again. It's a little bit of a problem with the line.
Yes, thank you.
This one is much better. Yes. You were touching on the issue that today is the real day that many people should be looking at.
Yeah. In terms of violence against women.
Yes.
And I was trying to explain what violence against women is so that we know what we are talking about.
That is it. Please go ahead.
I was trying to practicalize it by saying that if there's any violent act is committed against women, whether emotionally, physically, psychologically, or whatever. And it's not just against women and girls. And I was trying to say that in our society, we can say that it is any act that you would not want committed against women or against a girl that is violent. For example, if you we can talk about rape. We can talk about wife battery. We can talk about sexual attacks, we can talk about taking children out of schools, we can talk about preventing women from getting into hospitals when they have to go to hospital, whether to deliver or whether to attend to an illness. There are various acts of violence against women. And today, we mark International Day of Violence Against Women. It's interesting, throughout this month of November, we've been trying to collate articles on violence against women, and there have been so many of them. Every day, there's an committed against a woman. And if you statistically, we know that at least 2 out of every 3 women have suffered some form of violence. So it is very imperative that we look at this issue. And
yeah.
I was saying also that this is one area that we are making progress.
Yeah.
For example, we have the 25th of every December is celebrated as International Day on Violence Against Women to raise awareness on the issue. But also, it is also the start of what we call 16th activism against violence against women. And during this period from the 25th of November to the 10th of December is the time when we also look at practical ways of ending violence against women and advocacy and through practical acts.
Yes.
And so we've been making progress because we've been celebrating this for some time now.
Yeah. If we have to talk about the type of progress made, in what form can we really quantify the progress?
Okay. In Ghana, for example, we have a Domestic Violence Act that has been passed in 2007. In 2005, the Human Trafficking Act was passed. So when we look at the legal framework, we have made some progress. Okay. If we look at our policies and programs, these various acts have been developed into national actions. National Plan of Action on Implementing the Domestic Violence Act. We have the National Plan of Action on Human Trafficking. We have a National Plan of Action on another area, which we call Women, Peace and Security. UN Security Council Resolution 1325 and others that follow it. So we have the framework in place. And that means that our leaders, our politicians, the executive, the judiciary, our parliamentarians, our policymakers understand, they now understand what violence against women is. And that is very important because when people don't understand it, and in most of our communities, people tend to think that what some of us are calling violence against women, it's normal. If you shout at the young lady, for doing whatever, it is normal. If you refuse to take your girl child to school, it is normal. It is cultural. But these are not cultural. They are not normal. They are things that are actually violent acts, which we should not encourage. We should not perpetuate. So at least our politicians understand this. And if you look at the area of education, for example, we are asking about progress. That is another area where we've made progress. We have a lot more girls going to school. The challenge has been sustaining their stay in school, their retention in school, if I should put it in the technical.
Yeah. Madam, coming quickly to it, you've mentioned even the communities where even things that are not so normal are considered normal because it's happened over the years. Does that mean that for them, even though we are talking about a legal framework that seems to be favorable, they've not been touched adequately by what exists?
I think some work has been done even at the community level. I remember, for example, last year, the International Day of Violence Against Women was celebrated in Suhum. The year before that, we launched the celebration in Winneba. Okay. I remember we even set up what we call the Unite Group, Violence Against Women. That was also launched. So we do some work at the community level, especially the Ministry of Women and Children. Yeah, at the regional level, and they do a lot of work at the community level on violence against women. So some work is being done there. A number of NGOs, ActionAid, WellDAF, Safantu, just to name a few, also do a lot of work at the community level, raising awareness, building capacity of our traditional leaders and our crown leaders to deal with the issues, making people aware, making school children aware of what violence is, and things like that. So there's some work, amount of work also going on at the community level.
Yeah. Please hold on for us. On the other line, we have Angela Jamna Abuaji of the ACT Foundation, and we know she's been an activist for the well-being of women. Good evening, madam. Hello, madam Jamna Abuaji. I guess there is a little bit of a problem with that line. But coming back to you as we try to get through to Madam Angela Jamna Abuaji, as we mentioned the progress made, and you've also touched on that, the fact that at the community level, at least some action is being taken. At the school level, in recent times, there's been a lot of reports about the abuse against even girls. Does that mean that perhaps it is not sinking down well at a place where we are thinking of protection?
Well, I think at the school level, it is not recently it's been reported, but it is something that has been going on for a while now. And like I mentioned earlier on, most of these acts, we tend to accept them as cultural practices, and it's normal. And it's, but now, the good thing is people are becoming aware that these acts are not normal, they are not cultural, and that they affect the future development of the girl child. And so they are beginning to report it. So it's a good sign that people are picking up on what violence against girls and women are.
Good. We'll come back to you. Yes.
There remains a lot of work to be done.
Uh-huh.
And we still have DOPSU, the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit, which should normally be in every district, should be accessible to every Ghanaian. But this is not possible.
Yeah, we'll come and look at what we can do to even make the situation better than it is presently. But we are glad to have Madam Angela Jamna Abuaji back on the line with us. Good evening, madam. I guess there is a little bit of a problem with that particular line. Since you are still there, let's explore what you are talking about.
We can do it.
Yes. You say...
I think in our schools, there are so many strategies we can use. We can begin to look at working with teachers and building clubs, educating our girls on what it is, but also educating the boys on what violence against women and boys and girls are. Because these boys who grew up to become fathers, become husbands, become brothers. So we need to raise awareness from the perspectives of the girls not to accept the acts that normally would be our cultural acts, and also from the boys to let them recognize that these acts are not acceptable and should not be perpetrated.
But before now, does that mean that we've not brought them in adequately, talking about the boys, talking about the men?
Yes. That is one strategy. As we have reviewed our programs and our strategies, we've realized that there's a gap. We have not been working adequately and effectively with boys and men. And so now we are picking up on that, and we are beginning to look at the issue of working with men. On 10th of March, there's going to be a men's walk organized by EPOWER, which is also an NGO in Ghana. And it will be supported by the Gender Development Institute, will be sharing white cribbings for men to raise awareness around violence against women and boys. So that's one thing for men. And there's a lot more, starting a movement that will support issues of gender equality, women's empowerment.
Yeah.
And for boys, there are other issues that we can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it is awareness raising. We can do some work around capacity building so they can also deal with some of the issues they come across in schools, in their communities.
Yeah. Would you say the attitude of boys and men have been changing over the period that we've been talking about helping women to develop, assisting them wherever they find themselves and all?
Yes. You know, initially there was a lot of skepticism, and people would call the gender advocates gender this and gender madam, gender and all of it. But now they're taking them seriously. And you see, I think it's also a moral thing. People see these things and they recognize that it is not good. Men see these things and they realize, they know that it is not good. So, whether yesterday or last 2 days, or whenever you watch TV, you listen to radio, and you hear men talking about acts that are not good, that are perpetrated against women that are not good, and men complain against it.
Okay. Madam, do you know, we want to try, because the lines are worrying us a little, to hold you quickly and see if this time around it works with Angela Jamnambwaji. So please hold on. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
It's working this time around, thank God. Yes, you have been so active over the years, and talking about progress, at least you are in the arc, if we describe it that way. Would you say that for those coming from their background, people understand whatever we are talking about assistance to women and not visiting violence on women?
Well, the understanding is coming. The understanding is coming that those acts are criminal acts. The understanding is that, you know, you cannot do it and get away with impunity. In the past, it was considered part of the normal, you know, societal occurrences. But again, that even depended on the nature of violence that you're talking about. Wife beating was seen almost as a normalized kind of thing, whereas sexual violence was not tolerated, you know, in the past, even now. You know, things like wife beating, you know, slapping your wife around a bit, those ones were seen as very, you know, a part of our lives and existence. But now people are understanding that, you know, all human beings have dignity, they have rights, they have their own space, they must be respected. Increasingly, that understanding is coming.
Yeah. When you take the background of those who come to the ACK, what do you see? Is there a trend?
With violence, there's no trend, actually. If you look at the people whom we call our clients, you know, there's a mix. You know, whether it depends on their religion or their age, their children, they are adults, there are Christians, there are Muslims, there are, people without educational, you know, much education background. There are those who are very well educated, and so on. So it's a mix. The only thing you notice, though, that those who often seek help are those from the lower socioeconomic classes. It's an interesting thing, but not surprising, because those in the middle upper classes, especially women, you know, they feel they have a lot more to lose if they report such cases. You know, the stigma, the shame, the embarrassment, the fact that they may be facing a divorce, you know, all of those things. So, yes, we do get quite a number of cases in that category, but not as many as those who are in the lower income bracket.
So what do you do for such survivors?
Well, at the ACK Foundation, we provide what we call an integrated form or form of services, because we run a crisis center, we run a counseling center, we have a shelter for battered women, and at this, and a legal center. And at this point, what we do is that we try to give you as many of the services you need, you know, without having to go to maybe 10 places. So we can't do the police part. Where there needs to be police, it will be referred to DOFSU, you know, to the police. We can't also do the medical part, but we have a referral to doctors. We have referral to clinical psychologists when the case is way beyond that our social workers and counselors can handle, you know. So we will, if you need a shelter after the assessment is done, the risk is assessment is done and so on, we would give you shelter. And then we would also provide you counseling services. We would provide you basic assistance like food, clothing, take you to the hospital. So that's what we call an integrated form of services. We have a number of services being offered, and then resettle you. For example, if you were getting out of the shelter, we make sure that you not only get rehabilitated, but we also give you a settlement package, including something to start life with.
You try to sometimes do direct engagements with the society. Is there anything that has come out that perhaps appeared to be weird, talking about assistance to women and fighting against violence?
No. Not really. I remember in the past, you know, when we started, this was a little past the Beijing conference, in the getting to the late 90s. People used to say, you know, you are coming to spoil our culture, you are spoiling our women, you want to interfere in our marriages, you know, what you are doing will end up to break up of marriages and things like that. These days, you don't hear talk like that that much, you know, the kind of names that we were called and so on. Now people know that, you know, this is a no-go. You can't do these things and think that it's a legal thing, it's a nice thing to do, you know. So there isn't, it's not weird anymore to people. The reports are always all over in the newspapers and so on. So there's nothing weird about it anymore.
So do you consider it positive? Because Madame Efansra was saying that the more reports come out, the more people realize that there is an ill that should be reported on.
Yes, I think it's a very positive thing that the silence has been broken. It took a long while for the silence to be broken in this country about violence against women and girls in particular, you know. So it's a very good thing that people are talking about it. You know, when you listen to the radio stations, you hear a lot of discussions around it, for good or for bad. Sometimes some of the things that people say on radio will make you cringe, you know, because of the kinds of answers they will give. Somebody will say somebody has battered their wife a number of times, but the woman should still forgive him, and so on and so forth. Even though they make you cringe when you hear some of those, because you do understand that you are looking at something that's dangerous and the dynamics are all there, at least they are discussing it. At least people are proffering solutions. And it's also waking up our institutions to do much better than they have done in the past.
Madam Angela Gamnabwaji, we thank you very much for your time this evening.
You're most welcome.
She's with the ACK Foundation. But coming back to you, Madam Efansra, as we wrap up, what do you think should be the way forward as we still talk about violence against women?
I think the way forward takes us to working, building partnerships. With government, building partnerships with the private sector, with civil society groups, and with the other development partners, because this is an issue that is very pervasive and it's really entrenching our community. So where governments cannot reach, our civil societies can reach, or the private sector can reach and promote these issues on violence against women. We have the frameworks in place, we have the National Action Plan. I think now it's up to all of us, development partners, NGOs, media, especially, to pick these issues up and begin to implement them in our communities, in our schools, in our churches, everywhere we find ourselves. I think the other issue I wanted to raise was on emotional violence that is going on in our communities, where especially between partners and between children and parents, there is not enough love shared. There's a lot of disappointment and people are beginning to feel frustrated emotionally. And then there's a lot of depression. So that is another area we need to look at. Not just the beating, not the battery, the sexual violence, but also emotional violence against women as well. Thank you very much.
We want to thank you very much too for your time, Madam Efansra. That is the head of UN Women in Ghana. It's Behind the News in Cape Coast and its environs. You are getting us on Radio Central and you are on Sunrise FM if you are in Kofodia. Behind the News, you are live on Radio Ghana and also on Ura Radio and Radio Upper West. If you are just around Tafo and Kukurentumi, you are also listening to us on Sunrise. That is where the Oforipenin Secondary School is located. A quick test here, there will be no violence before, during and after the 2012 general elections, but NPP will win the elections hands down. Sidi Sakara Nwa is saying so. Yes, that political story will be coming up very soon as we look at intemperate language and what can be done. Director of Communications at the Presidency, Kwaku Anyidoho, seemed to have stirred the hornet's nest with his comments. We dare the opposition to try any mischief after next year's elections and they will smell pepper. His "if they dare" comments, which was repeated 3 times on an Accra radio station through a telephone interview from the US, has not gone down well with watchers of the political scene. Mr. Anyidoho was in fact reacting to the MPP's "all die be die" statement spoken by the party's flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo. But should we reply an intemperate language with an equally stronger one? This is an issue we are exploring on Behind the News tonight. And we have joining us the chairman of the National Peace Council, Professor Emmanuel Asante, who says it is unfortunate such comments were made in the first place. Good evening, Prof.
Good evening, brother.
Yes. Your council might be contemplating on a few things to do around this time, but are you worried about the trend of events?
Definitely. I mean, any peace-loving person in this country must be worried about the trend of affairs. The intemperate language that is being used and the counter-intemperate language, you know, that is being used, doesn't send good signals to the people in terms of the conduct of our upcoming elections. And everybody is worried. Every peace-loving person must be concerned, must be worried about what is happening.
The last time we spoke, your council has just been inaugurated, and we looked at the fact that there's been meetings, especially with political leadership, on some of the steps to take to help reduce some of these things. What are you going to do this time around?
No, definitely. As I told you, you know, we've just been inaugurated. We're going to have a capacity building workshop from the 7th to the 10th. And, you know, we've lined up a number of things that we want to do. Part of it is to meet with the various parties, the leadership and individuals, to try to discuss with them about ways and means by which we can maintain peace during, you know, before, during, and after the elections, because this is very, very crucial. This is very, very important. Apart from that, you know, there are stakeholders that we would want to meet and discuss matters with. You know, the Christian bodies, the other identifiable groups, Nananum, and all the others. Because, I mean, peacemaking is not the preserve of few individuals. We are there to promote it, and we want to bring on board as many as we can, peace-loving peoples, and all of us should put our hands on the wheel to ensure that there is peace in our country. And I would use this opportunity to try to appeal to the leadership of the various parties, and especially of the two major parties in this country, the NDC and the NPP, please let's tone down. If we really love Mother Ghana, you know, the intemperate language has the tendency to inflame passions, which can, you know, lead to chaos. And that's not what we are actually looking for in this country. After all, if you want to lead a nation, you want the nation to be in peace. Peace brings development. Peace is what we need. And so let's stop these kind of language. If they dare, I'll do this. We, and another person encounter is not going to be like Kenya. It's going to be like Rwanda and all those kinds of things. I'm not really happy about it. And I'm not the only person. Any peace-loving person in this country must be concerned about this intemperate, harsh language that we are hearing on our radio, on our airwaves.
Professor Asante, there is this issue that many people are so much concerned about, and they say it's at the base of all the intemperate language and people's desire to assume rulership. That is the all to gain or even all to lose factor. Will the Peace Council be thinking about what can be done at the root of the problem to perhaps help reduce the tension?
You mean, I'm not too sure.
In terms of political power, that is people losing all or taking all.
You mean the winner takes all issue? Well, this is one of the things that we need to think of. If we are really thinking about the development of our nation, then it seems to me that we need to think beyond party boundaries, party lines. I have said that it is important for Ghana to have a national agenda. You know, and when it comes to the national agenda, it should go beyond party lines. For example, when we're talking about education, when we're talking about health, when we're talking about other crucial matters, even in terms of the economy of this nation, I think we need to go for the best, irrespective of where the people are. Unfortunately, the winner takes it all. And losers also wait till they come in before they will show what they have, which is very, very unfortunate. At the end of the day, it's the country that suffers. But if we are able to come up with a situation where, even though I have won, I want to look beyond my own party and try to go for the best and bring them on board so that together we can do things. You know, sort of come together, let us think together and see how we can build our nation. I think we will be able to overcome some of these problems that we have.
Yeah.
Because democracy demands that we have choice.
Okay.
And we should be able to say that this is my part, this party is in power, and we should have alternatives. But having alternatives doesn't mean that we cannot use the best from, you know, the different dividing lines.
Yeah. Professor Santi, please hold on for us. We'll come back to you. But we have one of the representatives of the parties, Dominic Nitiwu, is with the MPP, an MPP MP for Bimbila and an aide to Nana Akufo-Addo. He's on the line with us. Good evening, Dominic.
Good evening, my brother. And let me say good evening to your listeners. And of course, good evening to Prof.
Naturally, you are not very happy with the statement made, but the question is being posed. Do you think it is a quick reference or response to perhaps what has been made earlier and not retracted?
I want to say that I heard the statement, the make of the statement explain that he was actually referring or trying to rebut or maybe counter what someone had earlier said, or a series of people or a statement that some people he claims have made. But you see, if it were just a pedestrian and on the street, it's a different ballgame altogether, or it has taken a different dimension. In fact, the reactions to it will have taken a different dimension. But when you speak for a president or a presidential candidate, you should be very mindful what you say, because at the end of the day, it is what you say that people would allude it to the president or the presidential candidate. So someone like Koko Anidongo, for example, what he says directly reflects what Professor Mills, the president, stands, what the president, the message he wants to convey to the people of Ghana. And then for him to come and say, look, I'm speaking for the president, I think that the language he used was unfortunate. And I want to say that if I were the president, I would reprimand him publicly for some of these things. Even though some people will call for his sack, I will not go to that extent, but I think that the president must begin to let the people of Ghana know that, well, maybe some of the things that are being said, he doesn't know. Because look, at the end of the day, you are the president. The buck stops with you. You are the one that the people of Ghana have handed over the reins of government to. Though the opposition would be called upon to augment what you do in terms of peace, and all of us will have to build bridges, it is important that the president takes the lead. So if somebody from the opposition makes a statement and the presidency directly responds in a harsher manner, it raises the tempo immediately, and the ball game, the goals and the goalposts shift, and the tempo shifts. That's my worry as a country. You see,
Let me come in here. Anytime we discuss the use of language, especially in our media and with politicians, we say here that it's a deja vu, a beating path. We are coming back to the same issues we've discussed on and on and on. So we ask, can we ever have a platform where people are discussing issues? This is the way I want to provide water. This is the way I want to provide schools, without necessarily touching on, then we'll face each other.
You see, everywhere in the world, you cannot have a perfect system. Everywhere in the world, there are people who would use interpreted language. There are people who would use harsh language. There are people who would discard ideas. There are people who would do different things. But it depends on how you go around the country. It depends on the culture that you build and the sort of system that you build for yourself. We say we are all building democracy, but in everywhere, democracy is not the same. We in this country must build a culture of tolerance and know that, look, as people, we respect each other's views. Ghanaians are like that. You are an Ashanti, someone is Ever, someone is a Konkomba, someone is a Dagomba. We respect each other's culture and each other's views. That's the first thing we must understand, and then build on our own culture and our own system and move forward. If you go to the U.S., even where democracy started over 200 years ago, people still use sex language, people still use threatening language. But you see, people have gone to accept and learn that even in voting, I may be a Democrat, but because somebody has a better idea, and for the fact that I'm voting for him for 4 years, I'll vote for him. But here, people believe that the ultimate is to win power, and the stakes are too high. I heard the chairman of the Peace Cast say that we should find a system of making sure that we soften this winner takes all. I perfectly agree to the system that the winner takes all is a problem. I have always been saying that if we had, for example, the Accra mayor being NDC, Kumasi mayor being MPP, maybe Ho mayor being NPP, maybe Takoradi mayor being NDC. I'm just giving an example. The 10 mayors, for example, you have some of them being MPP, some of them being PNC, some of them being this. Everybody feels part. But the system we are running a system where we say we are going for elections. We go for elections for some, we don't go for elections. And then you have an executive president who appoints almost everybody and invariably appoints his party people or people who will toe his line. And it's difficult for us to be able to, for other people to sit 8 years, 20 years, 10 years, 15 years.
And so you think the MPP finds itself in that position and would like to take advantage of everything and also get there and do the appointments?
No, I don't think that MPP finds itself. After all, we've just been in opposition for 3 years. So I don't think MPP is that desperate that local must get to power. It's rather the opposite, that we feel that NDC is not performing well, so the people of Ghana should give the MPP the
opportunity. So how are you going to complement the efforts of the Peace Council?
Like I said, for example, it is for all political parties to accept that there is a problem and that we must all talk to our people. We must all talk to the people who go on there. If you go under inside your bedroom and you make inflammatory statements, it doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
But the moment you are given a platform like the way you have given me this platform to speak closer to 2 million Ghanaians who are listening to me, then I must understand that my choice of words are as important as the stability of this nation.
Okay.
Okay.
Dominic.
And where we all of us must accept that, look, at the end of the day, we all have a stake to hold. You, me, the Peace Council, the presidency, everybody must accept that you don't go on radio and threaten anybody.
Okay.
You don't go out there and then make inflammatory statements.
Dominic.
You don't go out there and make statements that...
I think the point is very well made. And we'll be monitoring exactly when you say so, how you also follow all the issues you state so that we maintain some decorum as we do discussions. Thank you so much, Dominic Nitiwo, for your time.
Thank you, my brother.
That is the MPP MP for Bimbila and an aide to Nana Akufo-Addo. But back on the line, Professor Emmanuel Asante, sometimes you see the way the tension rises in the chest of those talking. Even when they try to maintain that level, it rises. Is there a way of addressing it?
The only way to go about it is as, you know, I mean, you know, there is the need for, we will try to make the effort to bring the two parties together. But before you can do that, you need to talk to them, you know, one-to-one in different stages. But I think it is important for us to make it clear to people that Ghana must come first before anybody's interest. Ghana must be of prime importance to all of us, so that we do not, you know, do things that will jeopardize Mother Ghana, the mother we are all seeking to serve. Otherwise, we have no business being in politics. If Ghana doesn't come first, but our interests must come first, and if it is not my way, then the world must be on fire. Then, I mean, it is very, very unfortunate. I'm pleading with our political leaders, once again, using this platform to plead with them to try to, you know, use temperate language to bring forth the ideas. For example, Honorable was saying that, you know, democracy in other countries, people use intemperate language. There are certain types of language that will not be acceptable in civilized democracies. You know, you don't come on air to threaten, you know, death, fire, this, that, those kinds of things. I don't think it is good.
Prof, we'll hold you on for just a moment as we go to Richard Kwashiga, the propaganda secretary of the NDC. Richard, you are warmly welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, if you can please raise your voice, it's a little low on the console here.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Yes, so the concern is, how can both parties work together to ensure that as much as others may try to even raise the tension, you try to cool it?
Well, I think that in the NDC, we have a certain concerted effort to ensure that we do not raise the political temperature necessarily. And we have consistently questioned ourselves and pinched ourselves to use language that is across and language that is soothing and pleasant. But oftentimes you would realize that our opponents or our political competitors tend to be the people who, you know, throw or hurl the first stone, and they do that consistently and continually. And you know, what one is realizing is that it's creating a certain psychological impact on the electorate. We have realized that the NPP has consistently, if you almost observed, from the time that the flag bearer from the Madis all night with that thing, you know, all the leading, many leading members of the NPP have consistently and continually used language that is violent in nature, language that, as it were, are intended to put fear in people, and sometimes it gets to the neck of those of us in the NDC.
Yes.
We want to just inform them that your threats are empty threats.
Yeah. Richard, you've heard Professor Asante talk about the fact that, yes, sometimes there may be annoyance, there may be irritation, but maturity is what will help people to even ride that challenge. So in that case, what are you suggesting as the way forward?
Yeah, you see, I think it takes two to tango. And if our political opponents, who are also supposed to be, or supposed to act maturely, are consistently, you know, trying to instigate the rank and file of their party, the young people in their party, take up arms. At the end of the day, if we are quiet, that's exactly what is going to happen. That's exactly what they're going to do. They will think that, oh, well, the NDC is dead. And therefore, even if things are being done rightly, they still will go ahead to create mayhem because they know that, well, they are losing the election, and therefore they must just find all ways possible to either create a situation where, at the end of the day, it will be, well, all power
sharing. So how can you work with the Peace Council to address some of the concerns that keep coming up?
Yeah, you see, the Peace Council is supposed to be a mediating body, well, I understand. And we would expect that the Peace Council will, you know, call all pending parties and find a way of letting them realize the danger in the use of inflammatory language and what that kind of language pose to the future of this station. You see, we are expecting that by this time, the likes of Akufo-Addo, the likes of Nana Kumia, the likes of Sir John, and the national chairman of the NPP would have been called, spoken to, or publicly named and shamed.
So you believe that perhaps there should be a meeting?
Only when Okwamido, you know, makes a statement, you know, which in itself was not in any way intended to sound violent in nature, but just to bring to mind that the state apparatus will deal with any group of people who will dare, you know, to take into their own hands.
Yes, I guess that you want the Peace Council to be proactive in all segments of the population to speak against things that are not right. We want to thank you very much. Let me pick a quick one from Professor Emmanuel Asante in this case. Richard is talking about the fact that we should be quick in responding to some of the critical situations that arise.
No. You see, Richard was looking at the issue from one-sided. And so long as everyone thinks that what they are doing is right, there's not going to be peace in this country. I think it is important for us to also realize that if I did something wrong, I should be able to say what I did is not the right thing to do. Again, the Peace Council, you know, you're saying that as soon as something happens, Peace Council should come up to say the Peace Council is not sitting somewhere and, as it were, monitoring everything that somebody says. Before the Peace Council will even come out to deal with some of these issues, it is important that we get to understand matters. Peace matters are not things that you simply do, you know, in the open, somebody does this and then you come with bashing. We've not been called to bash people, but we've been called to reason with people. Let reason work. Let us stop passing the buck. And I'm saying that the two parties must sit back individually and say to themselves, we are the two major parties in this country. You have been given the opportunity to rule this country. If the country is set on fire, where would the country be, the country that you are seeking to rule? And I think it is important that we are very careful about our language. And I'm not pointing to any particular party. I'm talking to all the people who are involved in politics, those who want to be given the reins of this country to take care of us, to try as much as possible to tone down. Of course, I mean, obviously, when two people or three people are vying for positions, there is bound to be, you know, tempest sometimes. But I think it is important that we do so in a mature and responsible manner. Yes. The young ones are listening, and a lot of people are scared because of the kinds of language we are using. You know, it is not helping anybody. Is this the way to rule a nation? Is this the way to seek for power? I think it is important that we sit back and say to ourselves, no, that's not the way.
Prof,
so we need to take a better way of doing things.
We'll still be exploring these issues to act as a contribution to the peace process. We want to thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for what you're doing.
Yes. Professor Emmanuel Asante is the chairman of the National Peace Council. Behind the news. And before we go, we have this story. The Akrofong School for the Blind has faced enormous challenges in recent times. However, the principal of the school had cause to shed tears of joy recently. What happened? Well, we have the principal, Mahela Na, joining us on the line to share a few of the things happening in the school and why she had to shed tears of joy recently. Good evening, madam. Good evening, Madam Mahela Na.
Good evening.
And you are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you.
Yes. You had to shed tears of joy recently. Can you share why you did so with us?
No, thank you very much. I think the School for the Blind, initially, it's a school where the children don't say peace. It's the government that caters for the children. And every child is entitled to once in 40 days per day for breakfast, lunch, and supper. So, sometimes the point, sometimes you can see that things are not all that easy. But with appeal and great of awareness, people such as supporting, supplementing what government has been giving us. And by God's grace, we are able to maintain those children and get the few things that they are needed. Though it's not enough, I think we are a lot. If you're looking at infrastructure, we have a lot of challenge. Our boys' dormitory was leaking profusely. We made so many appeals for almost a whole year, and there was no response. But it just took a moment when Dr. Patikasa of Atlantic Holding Company just came in, like I said, in the conversation, we mentioned it. And he single-handedly re-roofed the boys' dormitory, repaired the rails. The place was overcrowded. We have more students than we can take. But MPN just came in, and now they are putting up a storyboard and extra boys' dormitory. And by December, they will complete it. So we hope that by January, when school reopens, they are even going to take more people on. This is a success story.
Yeah.
And we have a library complex also under construction. This is a government project, a guest fund project, and the work is going on.
Does that mean you don't have any other challenge with the school?
So we have a number of challenges. Right now, with the boys, I think the dormitory, the problem is solved. But the girls, we are getting more girls now in school because they have created awareness. People have realized that the disability is not in ability. So we need extra girls' dormitory. Right now, we don't have an assembly hall. It's a dining hall that serves as an assembly hall. So that's when they have the open day. Just getting to them, there was heavy downpour, there's no shelter, and but all our dignitaries, we all go to work, it's heavy a downpour, we all soak. So we need an assembly hall.
Yeah.
And some of the children are from poor backgrounds, they are destitute. And it would even be good if we and some individuals can adopt a child or two and take care of them, because right now we are having some children who are being sponsored by churches, individuals and some organization, but there's a lot of children who need help too, and that's one of our challenges.
Yeah, so
our staff also, you know, some are commuting from Accra every day. The staff Bangalore, which be for one family, one person. Two families are sharing sometimes, not all the speaking. And even the staff have been doing well, the house mother is taking care of those staff, children. Meanwhile, their salary is very, nothing to arrive home at. And there are no allowances. The allowances that a teacher for the blind get is one CD, 50 pesos a month. The whole month, the allowance is 150 pesos. So those are a few of our challenges now.
Certainly, we'll try to visit the place sometime, and also want to commend all the organizations coming to your aid, MTN and the individual and all those doing it, and for others to continue if that's good endeavor to assist the school. We want to thank you so much and congratulate you too for all the support you are giving to the children. Madam Mahela Nice, the principal of the Ekropon School for the Blind. And that is where we wrap up the program for today. But this one from Suleyende saying, only weak-minded persons batter their wives. This act is unforgivable, no matter what. That is coming from Suleyende. And let me thank the production team, Edmund Tete, Bright Agama, Christopher Siedu, and Nina Isoa, and the rest over there. My name is Kingsley of interest.